Did you think that scripture reading was a little odd? I'm trying to figure out what sermon I'm going to preach that matches that scripture. I did make a mistake this morning. Actually, made a mistake yesterday morning when I sent the scriptures to Tanya. Luke 9:23 is going to be our scripture reading for tonight. So instead of putting John in place this morning, the text is John 19:26-27. I just went ahead and typed Luke in there. And so I just made a mistake. And so anyway, that Luke passage, 19 verses 26 and 27, we're just going to skip that this morning. Y'all just go over to John chapter 19. And that's where we will start this morning. So, man, I was sitting there thinking, okay, am I going to ditch this sermon and try to make that work? I don't think we'll do that this morning. I don't want to get too tickled because then I'll start laughing and won't be able to compose myself. It just sometimes my intelligence absolutely amazes me, I'm just going to tell you. All right. We're going to talk this morning about relationships built for eternity. Now, we've been in a series studying the sayings of the cross. There are seven of them, and we kind of got a little backdrop with the scourging and the crucifixion. We've looked at the first statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We talked a little bit about that. Last week, we talked a little bit about the thief on the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And so we're going to look at this third statement of the cross. And one of the things that we have noticed about these statements is they are very measured. They are pregnant with meaning. There's intention behind each one. And so just understand that these were not just haphazard sayings. We talked about how painful it was for Jesus to just utter these seven statements. Being able to push himself on the bottom nail that was piercing through his feet, pulling himself with the ones that are pierced through his hands, pulling himself up to get enough oxygen in his lungs just to say a few words. So the words were very carefully chosen. And I want to talk really this morning about this very idea, relationships built for eternity. Now, you've probably heard that statement before. I've shared it in some bulletin articles. I've put it on our Facebook page a time or two. That's kind of the thing that I have thought about in coming here, is that at the Fulshear Church of Christ, that's what we are about. We are about building relationships that don't just last through this lifetime, but they extend beyond to the next. These are relationships that are built for eternity. And I really see that in the statement that we're going to focus on, that this third statement that Jesus makes in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. And so let's think about this statement for a few moments, this third saying that's found in John. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." Notice, from that time on, this disciple took her to his home. This is definitely, in my opinion, all of these statements are emotional. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, just to think about our Savior dying on a cross, that is an emotional response for our salvation. I mean, it is. And it brings to the forefront of our minds and in our hearts a lot of emotion. But this one, I mean, it's this one that really seems to be full of emotion. I mean, can you imagine? How many moms do we have out here? Raise your hands, moms. Can you imagine for a moment watching your only child, not your only child, but watching your child die in some way? Okay? Some of you, sadly, have been there. I've known people in 21 years of ministry who have watched their children pass before them. And that's not the way it should go, right? I mean, you shouldn't watch your children die, but yet some do, and some have had that experience. And And it's never an easy thing. It's always extremely emotional. And so you understand, you probably understand more than anyone if you've experienced that, what Mary is going through. This is a very emotional saying, if you will. I mean, just think about all that's wrapped up in a mother and a child, and the love that that mother has for the child, and the moments experienced in life, and all of the moments filled with laughter, and I'm sure some filled with some heartache, and just think about just that relationship. This is a relationship that is special, unlike any other relationship ever experienced. The relationship between a mother and a child. I mean, this is a mother that has actually given life to another human being, and then to raise that human being. And that's the experience we're having this morning with this saying, is that with all of the people that we've talked about, there were some that were just watching Jesus and waiting on Him to die. You remember we talked a little bit about that. But this one is not just one of the many people in the crowd. This is His mother. This is a statement from the heart of Jesus Christ to His mother. And it's one from His mother also to a disciple whom He loves, John. You remember John says that about their relationship in this letter, the Gospel of John. And so this is the disciple that Jesus loved. And He looks down at this disciple and He's thinking about His mother. And He tells John, I want you to take care of your mother. This is now your son. This is now your mother. And I want you to just wrap your mind around the emotion of that for a moment. To me, it brings a lot of the humanity and horror of the cross in full view, doesn't it? I mean, we see that Jesus was born of woman, Galatians 4:4. Jesus was that Word. He was God, but He was God who became flesh, John 1, verse 14. And those aren't just random verses. Those are truths about the humanity of Jesus Christ. In 1 John, the way that John describes Jesus, the same author that wrote this gospel says we've held Him, we've touched Him, we've tasted Him, we know what He's like. He was actually flesh and blood. And it wraps humanity around God as we think about this. Jesus was an individual who had a mother. He was born in every way just like we are. And He experienced all of the difficulties of life. And you see in this statement, you see the humanity of Jesus. You see His mom there at the foot of the cross. But it also talks about the horrors of the cross. And we've talked about that. We've talked about the scourging. We've talked about being nailed to a cross. We've talked about all of that horror, but I want you to think for a moment how horrific this must have been for a mother to watch her son die unjustly, not because of anything he had done, but for everyone else. And it's something that she knew herself. She knew that this moment would come. She knew that her son was born destined to die for the sins of many. Could you imagine carrying that burden around your whole life while you're raising this little baby? Could you imagine carrying that burden around your whole life, knowing that every moment that He teaches and someone gets aggravated and wants to kill Him, is this the moment? Is this the time that the Scriptures had spoken about? Is this it? You see, we get to see the humanity and the horror of the cross in this statement. We get to see a mother watching her son die. How awful and painful that must have been. But think about the pain that Mary has experienced in her life. Think about just the fact that when they were trying to keep all of the requirements for the census and being in an area, a time, and a place where you don't have an adequate place for you to deliver a baby, and you have to end up delivering your firstborn child that you know is God in an animal stable. Think about the horrors. Ladies, We get frustrated. You get frustrated, don't you, when they don't bring you ice at the appropriate time, right? You know, or yeah. And I want to tell you, we've had 4 kids. They were all unique births, every one. Christy's going to kill me. It's never good when I start out that way. She's going to kill me. My mother and father-in-law are here today. And I can remember when Julianne was being born. And Christy is the most mild-mannered person I've known. She is easygoing. And, I mean, just a jewel. And her parents would amen that, right? So Christy's mom and I, we were in the room and we're getting everything set up and they're putting in an IV and Christy's mom and I, I went and got some breakfast. That's what good son-in-laws do, right? You go get breakfast for your mother-in-law. And so we're sitting there and we're eating breakfast and Christy's trying to get this IV in and we're just laughing and we're cutting up and, you know. And finally, Christy just looks at her mother and me, and she says, "I want both of you to leave right now." I thought she was teasing. I said, "Oh," she said, "right now." Marilyn and I left. And so those are difficult moments, right? But nothing like this. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine the horrors of delivering a child in such an unsanitary situation? But it wasn't just that. I mean, there's also the plan that Herod has to destroy this child. I mean, can you imagine knowing that you've given birth and all that was surrounding that birth, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, all of the beautiful things that were there that were so touching in that moment. Now there is a fear not only for your child's life, but also for yours. I mean, you have to remember the anguish that she suffered when she learned that. And then the hardship that she faced when she was forced to leave Egypt and had to travel for several years to stay away from Herod and the plan that he had. I mean, can you imagine the hardship that was experienced during those difficult days? You might remember the grief that she experienced when she watched his own people denying and ultimately persecute him and hate him. I mean, you know, mamas, you will rise up like mama bears, won't you, when someone messes with your child? But can you imagine moment after moment, experience after experience, town after town, and even sitting at your own table, the discussion that she had with her own children who thought that their older brother was crazy? You remember the time when they wanted to collect him and the disciples said, "Hey, your mother and brother stand outside to collect you," because they thought he was crazy. And Jesus looked and said, "Well, who is my mother and who are my brothers? This is my family." See those. He is focusing on relationships that are built for eternity. The family of God is closer than anything else, or at least it should be. And so you can see that she's experienced. So, but none of that compares to the horror standing at this moment before a cross where her son hangs to die. I just can't, the emotion of that, I can't hardly wrap my mind around it. We read it, we know it's true, we know it's real, but all of that, and we've talked about how Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. What if Mary could have called 10,000 angels? The scenario might be quite different. That's her son. That unjustly being persecuted and scourged and now crucified. That's her son that she's watching die. That's her son that's bleeding right before her very eyes, and there's not a thing that she can do about it. What an awful moment this is. I mean, watching her son die a horrible death, I can't even begin to wrap my mind around that thought. But when Jesus saw his mother, it reminds us of two things. There's a couple of things we can learn from this story, the emotion of this moment and this statement. Number one, it reminds us the responsibility that we have to honor our father and mother, to take care of mom and dad. Doesn't it? I mean, think about it. In the final moments of Jesus, one of those seven short statements is centered around his mother. Now, there's some speculation. I'll just give you some opinion. We don't have book, chapter, and verse for this. Many think that at this particular time, Joseph more than likely has died. Joseph is not at the cross with Mary. He's not there supporting Jesus. Remember, he was part of the duo. He heard the words of the angels. He accepted his part in the plan. He decided to raise a child that wasn't his own. But yet he's not in this moment of the cross. He's not in this 30 years of life. At some point along the way, he's not here. And many people have speculated to believe that more than likely what happened was that Joseph had died. Joseph would have had the responsibility of caring for his wife when the oldest son dies, right? But he's not in the picture. And so you've got Jesus focusing on this responsibility of caring for his mother and taking care of her needs. Now, you might remember that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, this was what was stated in the Ten Commandments. This was part of the law of Moses. This was something that Jesus would have understood that was a priority for him in life. That you honor your mom and dad and you meet their needs, you care for them. I mean, even think about this. Paul talked about the very same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. He quotes that passage from Exodus 20, verse 12. And so there in Ephesians, Paul is telling children to honor their mom and dad. I used to teach a Bible class at Mars Hill. I hope that you will get the point of the illustration and may not read too much into what I'm saying here. But I've taught a Bible class. Actually, I taught several at Mars Hill Bible School. But one of the classes that I first started teaching was a class for high school seniors. And it was kind of a transition class, you know, how to be a faithful child of God when you leave the home and you start your college life, you step into this next phase of your life, if it's working in a trade school or just getting a job. And so I taught this Bible class to these seniors who were about to graduate. And one of the things that, one of the classes that I had in that particular quarter was I talked about responsibility. And I would start out class asking them about responsibilities that they had. And then I would kind of shift into doctrine. What's important about doctrine? You know, what do you think? And they would talk about, oh, baptism is essential for salvation. And it is, amen. Right? We believe that. And I certainly believe that. And man, they would be all, you know, forceful. They would be in agreement about that particular point, which they should have been. But I said, you know, it's interesting that we will argue about things like, you know, instrumental music or baptism or, you know, whatever specific doctrine we want to talk about. But I said, what about just backing up a little bit? I said, you want to talk about responsibility when you leave the house? You still have a responsibility to honor your mom and dad. I said, that's right up there at the top. I said, that was part of the Ten Commandments given to Moses by God that was even put on stone. I mean, that's how important it was. And Paul reiterates that same point in his letter to the Ephesians. I said, now, you have those moments, don't you, where you disrespect mom and dad and you don't listen to to their advice or you don't respect what they say. They give you a certain curfew or they give you certain responsibilities or they give you a certain direction and you don't respect it. You're just going to go your own way and do your own thing. I said, is that honoring mom and dad? I said, you want to talk about responsibility? That's responsibility. You have responsibility. That responsibility never leaves, regardless of age. It's not just for a group of seniors in high school graduating. It's for every one of us, right? Regardless of our age, we have a responsibility. Oh, but you don't. We have a God-given responsibility to honor mom and dad. Think about Jesus dying on the cross. And one of the special moments that we hear him speak about is looking at his mother and wanting to fulfill the obligation and responsibility that the oldest Jewish son had in that he had the responsibility of caring for the parents. And in this moment, he knows how heartbreaking this is for his mother. There's no doubt that he hears her wailing and sees her tears. There's no doubt that Jesus understands the emotion that she's going through, and so he wants her to know that he's thinking about her and that he's going to fulfill his God-given responsibility to care for her. And so he says to the disciple whom he loved, "Behold your mother, woman, behold your son." Think about that. Jesus had other brothers that could have fulfilled that responsibility. But this tells me that it transcends just blood, doesn't it? It's all about faith. This is a relationship that is built for eternity. This isn't just any old relationship. This is a relationship that's going to be based on the blood that he is shedding on the cross. And so he looks to a faithful brother in John and says, "This is now your responsibility." That speaks volumes to what the responsibility we have in the church to people of faith. That we have to step up and help care for people of faith. I mean, Jesus could have looked at James, he could have looked at Jude, he could have looked at any of his siblings and said, "Listen, I'm about to die, you take care of your mom." But he doesn't do that. I mean, this is a very unique circumstance. And one of the obvious, to me, concerns that Jesus has is that he doesn't just want his mother cared for. It's not just about making sure she has enough food and making sure she has a roof over her head. It's about making sure that what's important in life, faith, is extended to her. That she is cared for in faith. And how beautiful a picture this is. So it tells us that Jesus understands the responsibility that he has to his mother in this specific scenario. You might remember Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. "If anyone does not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel and denied the faith." We can do as much good as we can to as many as we can. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith." We can do as much good as we can to people out there, but our priority, our main priority is right here with our family of faith. That is, you are the main responsibility that we have in our Christian walk. And we have responsibility to our parents in our Christian walk to honor mom and dad. That is a priority. It's not just about doing as much good as you can to those people out there, which we should, but this is the priority, and our family is the priority. Number two, it also lets me know that even in the most difficult of moments, you can still think about others. I mean, think about that for just a moment. Is there a worse circumstance than dying on a cross for the sins of the world? You might remember Paul's words in Philippians chapter 2. You know, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was the mind of Christ Jesus? "Look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others." I mean, here is a man dying on a cross, very measured in his words, going through such pain and effort to say or speak words that are, in reality, words that are caring for others, thinking about the needs of others. I mean, it just tells us that in difficult times we can be concerned about the needs of others. That to me, that's absolutely amazing to me. At moments, we become so self-centered, don't we? I've been like that. I'm sure many of you have been like that. We've been self-absorbed, right? But this teaches the principle in Philippians 2 that we're supposed to look out for the interests of others first, not just specifically for our own interests. And then Paul, as he talks about that, he says that's really the way of Christ. That's really the life of Christ, is that we think about others. We become less absorbed with our own struggles. Some people become so absorbed with the difficulties of their own lives that they forget about the people around them that need them. You've met people like that. You've seen people like that. But when you think about this statement and you think about this moment on the cross, this is a person who is experiencing a horrific moment, a death, and yet he's thinking about others. That tells me that regardless of how difficult our moment may be, let's continue to be aware of those that are around us. Let's not forget about them. And I will tell you that in moments of difficulty, when you think about others and you serve others and you help others, in some way, doesn't it help relieve part of the burden that you're carrying with the difficulty you're experiencing? Doesn't it help to know that when you're doing something for someone else, that there's a beauty in that, there's a blessing in that, that the end result is that you're going to be as blessed as much as the person that you're blessing? But when we just sit in our own self-pity and we think only about ourselves and we think only about our difficulties and we think only about our circumstances, then we forget about everyone else. And much of the time we forget about Christ. And this is just a lesson that tells us that even in the most difficult moments in life, we can still think about others and think about the needs of others. When you think about this particular scenario and you think about your walk with Christ, just understand that regardless of how difficult it may be, God still wants us to help others. He still wants us to reach out to others. But let's not forget that the reason He went to that cross was so that you and I would never have to be alone. He went to that cross so that you and I would ultimately have our sins forgiven and be added to a faith family where relationships are built for eternity. That He died so that we could be together. He died alone so that we would not have to die alone. He died so that we might one day live not just with our immediate family here in Fulshear, but ultimately with all the saved in heaven. What a blessing. And this moment speaks volumes about relationships. I don't know where you are at this moment in your walk with Jesus. But if your walk is a difficult one and there are some challenges, don't misinterpret the lesson. We care about those and we want you to share those burdens with us, those challenges. We as a spiritual family want to help you with those. We want to help bear those burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It could be that you're not a child of God and you need to belong to a place, a family. This is a great one to belong to. This is the greatest place on earth, right here, the kingdom of God in Fulshear. And there's not a better place to be, amen? If we can help you in your response to obeying Jesus, please come while together we stand and sing.